Good morning, everyone. I'm R.W. Estella with a word in Edgewise. Today is the 25th of November, the 330th day of 2024, giving us 36 days before 2025 clicks in. Thursday, we continue a history begun on this side of the Atlantic more than 405 years ago, with the first documented occurrence of North American colonists celebrating a day of Thanksgiving on December 4th, 1619 in Charles City County, Virginia. That day of feasting was already the better part of a century behind the long burgeoning English tradition of having days of Thanksgiving and special Thanksgiving religious services emergent during the English Reformation in the reign of King Henry VIII. At that Virginia Thanksgiving dinner, wild turkeys were on the menu, along with venison and other wild game. Wild turkeys are exclusively a New World species, inhabiting every state except Alaska, since the birds were introduced to four Hawaiian islands in 1815. But because the wild turkey was the primary game bird in North America, the animal had almost disappeared by the middle of the 20th century, when reintroduction efforts began, in some states such as Maine, not starting until the 1970s. Relative success came quickly, however, with 500 hunting permits issued for wild turkey in Maine by 1986, though only 9 turkeys were tagged that year. The average lifespan of a wild turkey, though they face the threat of nearly every wild predator, is 10 years, a longevity that is encouraged by wild turkeys roosting in trees and forming small roving groups of one or two families known as rafters. Gobble, gobble. Despite the experience sustained by many humans at Thanksgiving dinners of having just survived another emotionally and psychologically taxing event, we persist in our attempts to gather together, a redundant if not euphemistic expression. Harriet Mullen explores this ritual in her poem, What Draws Us Together. When we come together, what shapes the space around, defines the ground between us? Which hand sketches the outline of a body? If we are together, what gesture completes the picture? Whose perception fills in missing lines, suggesting a profile? If we stand together, must unity resolve the multiplicity of our infinite fracture? What proportion is each figure? When we go together, what is the simple form we make? Who fits our edges snugly, composing a whole? Whose eye searches the landscape for a focal point? Heavenward, tomorrow morning, our waning crescent moon will reach apogee, or its farthest distance from Earth at 251,850 miles, and will hang on the horizon in the eastern sky near Spica, the brightest star in the constellation Virgo the Maiden. Today in 1715, the first English patent was granted to an American for processing corn. Today in 1792, Benjamin Banneker first published his Farmer's Almanac. Today in 1876, retaliating for Custer's defeat at the Battle of the Little Bighorn, U.S. Army troops sacked Chief Dullknife's sleeping Cheyenne village at the headwaters of the Powder River. Today in 1905, Telemco made its first ad for a radio set claimed to receive signals for up to 1 mile. Today in 1975, Suriname gained its independence from the Netherlands. And today in 1976, The Band played its farewell concert at San Francisco's Winterland Ballroom as part of the Martin Scorsese film, The Last Waltz. Today in 1846, in Girard County, Kentucky, Carrie Moore, who would become known eventually as Carrie Nation, was born to a slave owner who also dealt in livestock and to a mother who had convinced herself she was Queen Victoria and thereby compelled her husband to provide her with a scepter and queenly coach. Biographer Ed Morrow tells us Carrie's mother and her other female relatives were unanimous in their negative opinion of men, considering all of them to be unscrupulous seducers. Consequently, Carrie's dating consisted of sitting in the parlor with her gentleman callers discussing the Bible. Handholding and hayrides were prohibited. In 1865, Dr. Charles Gloyd came to board in the Moore household. Somehow he managed to steal a kiss from the nearly 6-foot-tall Carrie, who immediately shrieked I'm ruined. Subsequently, Gloyd spent 2 years courting Carrie, turned up to the wedding drunk, and proved to be an inattentive husband. Although pregnant, Carrie left him, and he died 6 months later from drinking. With her mother-in-law's help, the young widow Carrie began raising her daughter and then married an ugly but rich widower by the name of Nation, who was 20 years Carrie's senior. This second marriage was also unhappy. Nation hated Carrie's religious fanaticism, and she found sex with him disgusting. They divorced, though Carrie kept the last name of Nation, and became a celebrity by advancing the cause of prohibition in Kansas, smashing up saloons with a hatchet. Her hatchetations, as they were called, became part of her legacy, which brought about strict dry laws not only in Kansas, but across the country as well. Saloons were not the only recipients of Carrie's anger. Tobacco, foreign foods, Teddy Roosevelt, Masons, most men, buggy riding couples, nude paintings, and sex were attacked too. Carrie published a newspaper detailing how these things were abominations. Her paper also carried a column for boys and girls, which primarily attacked self-abuse in terms so explicit that it was a virtual how-to manual in the subject. Carrie Nation described herself as a bulldog running along at the feet of Jesus, barking at what he doesn't like. With the image of Jesus setting a yapping bulldog on hapless sinners not seeming at all odd to her. Today is also the birthday in 1562 of Spanish poet Lope de Vega, in 1577 of Dutch privateer Piet Hein, in 1835 of Scottish-American industrialist Andrew Carnegie, in 1844 of German automobile manufacturer Carl Benz, in 1899 of American actress Vera Reynolds, in 1902 of Russian-American actress Tamara Shane, in 1914 of American baseball center fielder Joe DiMaggio, in 1920 of American actress Noel Neal and of Mexican actor Ricardo Montalban, in 1924 of American jazz saxophonist Paul Desmond and of Japanese poet Takaki Yoshimoto. Hey. In 1927 of American jazz pianist Dick Wellstood, in 1928 of American jazz singer Etta Jones, and of American gospel and blues singer and guitarist Jimmy Johnson, in 1929 of American actor Jack Hoken, in 1931 of American jazz musician Nat Adderley, in 1933 of American actress Catherine Crosby, in 1940 of American soul singer Percy Sledge, in 1947 of American actor John Larroquette, of French film director Jonathan Kaplan, of American rock keyboardist and songwriter Linda LaFlamme, and of American rock drummer Val Fuentes. In 1951, of American folk singer-songwriter Bill Morrissey. In 1960, of American gospel and rock singer Amy Grant. In 1962, of Japanese video game designer Hironobu Sakaguchi. Hey. In 1963, of Canadian jazz singer Holly Cole. In 1966, of American disco singer Stacey Ladislaw. In 1969, of Canadian twin actresses Jacqueline and Gillian Hennessy. And in 1971, of American actress Christina Applegate. From Orono, Maine, I'm R.W. Estella with a word in edgewise. Here's to the 10th full week of autumn, to the 48th week of 2024, and to a happy Thanksgiving.